Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris. We're up on Ben Buckler, not in our usual spot because, well, there's pods of dolphins all over Bondi Bay, the Bay Area. So I'm standing on the south side of the cliff and not enjoying the sunshine as I usually do in the sunrise because there's a bunch of Frenchies having breakfast up there, enjoying the delights. Of course, they're on the opposite side of the fence. As tourists do, they say, well, what's that guardrail for? And climb over it and sit on the clifftop. So I'm over here facing the westerly, southerly wind. I hope it's not too bad in the microphone for you. But what I'm looking at is two pods of beautiful dolphins, the big ones too. So they're heading south. Yeah, along with the whales out there in the ocean. I haven't seen too many today. Yesterday saw a bunch. Yeah, it's kind of like pretty gorgeous. So today's topic is my sluggos. So I have 5 or 6 pairs of swimmers that I wear, and each morning I go for a dip. And one of the pairs of the sluggos I had got a knot in it instead of a bow, and which made it impossible to undo. So each time I went swimming, I tightened the knot, and that's understandable. And then today I went to undo it, and I thought to myself, how many of us tighten the knot on a habit and just do it because it's kind of like cool to do, and we just don't even think twice about tightening the knot.
Joanna, demain.
Ah, welcome to the French. And so anyway, cut a long story short, we end up creating habits that eventually have to be undone. So this morning I decided to undo that knot that I've been pulling tight each time I go for a swim. And I had to get a pair of pliers to get it undone. And that just shows that if we do things sometimes the shortcut, the simple way every day, we will just pull the knot tight. And eventually we'll end up with what we think is a habit. And then until one day we have to undo it and we realize that some of the knots we've tied in our daily habits are almost, you need a pair of pliers to get them undone. Those knots can be what we eat for breakfast, or what time we wake up, how much time we spend on the internet, how much time we spend on Instagram, how much time we spend walking or don't spend walking, how much time we sit at a desk, how much time we spend pondering things as we walk instead of looking at the sunshine and looking at the sunrise, looking at the grass. How much time we spend complaining about the way things are when we don't need to complain. So the ultimate reality is that there is nothing to complain about. It's only our perspective that gets disjointed. And so, for example, a good company will go through periods of chaos and periods of order. When a company's in chaos, everybody's in panic, running around trying to fix things. When a company's in order, everybody's going, I wonder what's next. It becomes confrontingly slow. And then there's chaos. Ironically, when there's chaos, everybody wants order. And when there's order, everybody wants chaos. And rather than trying to arrest the wobble from chaos to order to chaos, it's probably better to be grateful for both. In a moment of chaos, there's opportunity for radical change. In a moment of order, there is no change. Everything we do in a moment of order will be disruptive, and that's not necessarily healthy, but everything that happens during chaos is automatically disruptive. I work for coach quite a few people inside very different businesses, and The better ones have chaos and order within a week. Everybody's in chaos, and I coach maybe five or six people out of a company, and they all in their coaching sessions talk about how much turmoil there is in the business. When the same group of people, if I coach them the next week, they'll talk about how much order there is and how calm it's become and how worried they are that things are about to go chaotic. That's a very good company that goes chaos, order within a week or so. There are other companies, bigger, more, less agile, who are in continual chaos or continuous order for long periods of time. And then they flip to the other side, so that maybe 3 months of order and then 3 months of chaos. And that's because the leader of that organization is modeling their thinking on sustaining chaos, disruption, or sustaining order, which is everybody getting on well together. And neither of those two models are efficient. If you're in chaos all the time, that's continual change. Nothing ever gets systematized. And if you're in order all the time, the systems become antique and out of date. So what we're trying to do is move businesses and the people within it into a place where they can enjoy the chaos and enjoy the order. Chaos is not bad, because everybody is pulling and pushing at each other, and there's arguments and there's discomfort and quarrels going on. That's not bad. It's actually an essential part of life. It's essential part of growth. And I think what we need to do when we work from an inner wealth perspective is to, in a sense, not complain about things, but rather try to find the benefit of them, try to find why it's so good to have chaos, why it's so good to have order, and embrace it and go with it rather than against it. Remembering chaos is automatic disruption, it's automatic evolution, it's automatic change, it's automatic. Order is automatic systematization. It's where everything gets sort of put into process. But if we don't disrupt the order with chaos soon enough, that order becomes what blocks the business or the individual. And if we don't disrupt the chaos, then people burn out and cook. So moving from chaos to order, that's the key. And as I've said, the better companies that I work with do it weekly or bi-weekly rather than monthly or annually. So Chris, you have a great day. Bye for now.